is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, November 20th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky will update us on the caucusing last night among Senate Democrats and Republicans. They have voted in new leaders. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. After a few months' delay and an ownership change, a new biodiesel plant in Danville was officially open with a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday. Startup operations will begin later this week at the new Blackhawk Biofuels plant. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Biofuels Company of America, a joint venture involving the multinational food conglomerate Bunge, had planned to open the new plant in Danville earlier this year. But BCA decided to pull out and sold the facility to Blackhawk, a Freeport-based investors group. That delayed completion of the plant, but now it's ready for startup operations, with 27 employees and plans to have biodiesel ready to ship by late December. Iowa-based Renewable Energy Group is running the new plant for Blackhawk. Renewable spokeswoman Alicia Clancy says Danville is a good location for biodiesel production.
It's on the Illinois-Indiana border. We hope to serve customers in Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and maybe even into northeastern Missouri. And we just want to serve those petroleum distributors who are looking for a good source of high-quality biodiesel.
The Blackhawk Biofuels plant is built on land owned by Bunge and will use soybean oil from the Bunge milling facility next door. But Clancy says upgrades to be completed later this winter will enable the plant to produce biodiesel from animal fat feedstocks as well. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Opponents of Governor Rob Blagojevich's plan to close Pontiac Correctional Center took their concerns to Springfield, standing outside of the state capitol yesterday. Officials of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees and others claimed that the prison's closing will disrupt families' lives and risk the safety of Illinois prison inmates and employees. The governor says he wants to cease operations at the aging Pontiac prison and fully open the newer Thompson Correctional Center, claiming the move would save the state about $4 million a year. Opponents of the closure say not only won't the state save that much money, but also the Pontiac area economy will suffer deeply without the prison. It's the county's second largest employer behind Caterpillar. Meanwhile, the clock is ticking on several Illinois state parks and historic sites set to close at the end of this month. Supporters want to keep them open and are taking their message to the state capitol. Sean Crawford has more.
Keith Welch of Belleville, dressed as a French infantryman would have looked 300 years ago, stood in the Capitol Rotunda along with other reenactors. They're hoping to convince the governor to keep operating the targeted sites. Welch participates in reenactments at Fort Deschartes in southwestern Illinois, which was built by the French in the early 1700s.
This is like somebody closing down Gettysburg in Pennsylvania. This is part of our history, like Gettysburg is part of Pennsylvania history. You shut down all these forts, and Illinois history is just in a history book. That's what we're trying to save.
Welch and others say the sites provide a hands-on educational experience for the public. Members of the group that made the trip to the Capitol say even if their fort is closed, they won't give up. They're already talking about hiring a lobbyist to promote their cause and possibly starting a private fundraising effort. Governor Rob Blagojevich says he'll close the sites as part of a budget-cutting move. Lawmakers approved additional money to keep the sites open, but the governor has so far yet to agree. I'm Sean Crawford.
A report released by the March of Dimes finds that too many Illinois babies are born too soon and too small. Jenna Julie has that story.
The state received a D grade for premature births. 13% of babies born in Illinois don't reach 37 weeks in the womb, and those last 2 weeks are crucial for a baby's overall development. Illinois State Representative Patty Belloc, a Hinsdale Republican, says the state needs to ramp up awareness and funding to study the source of preterm births.
Later on in life, we're going to address those issues anyways in the schools and in other things by the results of premature birth, which lots of times can be like cerebral palsy, blindness, disabilities. So it's extremely important to address those issues with children.
The March of Dimes has found that having twins or triplets or more and C-sections are risk factors for early births. Vermont has the lowest premature birth rate at 9%, and Mississippi has the highest at 18%. I'm Jenna Dooley.
Illinois' Child Welfare Agency disputes an email that says it needs to pay overtime at some offices because of layoffs. Department of Children and Family Services spokeswoman Kendall Marlowe says the agency is training people moving into new jobs, not compensating those doing extra work because of laid-off workers. In an email sent Monday and obtained yesterday by the Associated Press, DCFS told the union that it'll lose 27 of 39 investigators at its Maywood office to layoff or reassignment. The memo says the extra work is necessary for case overtime because of the layoffs and calls the impact tremendous. Union officials say workers already have caseloads that exceed court-ordered limits, and that puts kids at risk. Organizers of a school in Chicago that was originally supposed to be gay-friendly have put the plan on hold. The Chicago School Board had been scheduled to vote on the proposal yesterday. Mike Ree has more.
The concept for Social Justice Solidarity High School had gradually changed over the last month. Instead of only welcoming gay students, civic leaders convinced the planning team to broaden the scope to anyone who had been bullied. Wilfredo De Jesus was one of those civic leaders. He's pastor of New Life Covenant Church on Chicago's Northwest Side.
I'm just stunned why, after so many, a month and a half of meetings, they're going to pull out.
De Jesus says the planning team might have felt it was compromising its original vision of a school primarily for gay students. In a statement, the planning team doesn't specify why it pulled the proposal. It says it plans to work on the concept for another year and hopes to open the school in 2010. I'm Mike Ree.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. It has been known for a time that the two men at the helm of the Illinois State Senate would be stepping down in January. But it wasn't until last night that senators decided who will take over those positions. Amanda Vinicky reports on who they are and what changes they may bring.
The retirement announcement by Senate President Emil Jones came in mid-August. And since then, Senate Democrats have been campaigning, lobbying, and negotiating amongst themselves. Senator Don A. Trotter was only half-joking back then when he said it seemed like every Democrat in the chamber was in the running.
I mean, there's 37 members, and the last I counted, there's probably about 36 of them that would like to have the position. And that one person that says they don't want it is probably lying. So we'll see.
In the end, John Cullerton, a frontrunner from the beginning, won. The months of negotiations ended after Democrats shut themselves in a private room at a Springfield hotel as reporters, lobbyists, and other onlookers waited in the hallway and bar right outside. A couple of hours and two ballots later, Cullerton emerged the winner.
It was very contentious for the last few months, but everybody came together and it's been really a great humbling feeling.
But Cullerton, a partner at a Chicago law firm who lives on the city's north side, has been in the legislature long enough to know what problems he's taking on. He's been in the Illinois General Assembly since 1979. He'll be leading the Senate as it takes on policy issues, namely dealing with a deficit budget and a flailing economy. Cullerton also says his top legislative priority will be propping up the economy by passing a statewide infrastructure program. But in order to even get to that and other matters, there's the issue of the fighting that's engulfed state government.
We have a situation where the speaker and the governor are not getting along, where we've had problems between the Senate and the House. We want to change that. We want to. I think I'm uniquely qualified. I do get along with the speaker. I've known him for many years. The governor lives two blocks from me, and so we have been friends for many years. We are going to try to bring those two guys together, and if I can get the speaker and the governor together, then I'm going to go to the Middle East and solve that crisis.
It's a different tactic than President Jones has taken. Jones has been Governor Rod Blagojevich's closest ally and has stuck by Blagojevich even, some say, to the detriment of his own members. It's put Jones at odds with them lately and is part of the reason Democrats like Mike Jacobs of Moline say they elected Cullerton.
I think we're going to start working as a cooperative body, and I hope the governor takes this as an opportunity to grow up a little bit and work with the legislative chambers and move Illinois forward, because the people of Illinois can't afford what we've had for the last couple of years.
Democrats aren't alone in their professed desire for cooperation.
I think taxpayers want to see the parties cooperating and pulling together to make things move forward in the state, and that's the kind of leader I intend to be.
That's Christine Redonio of Lamont, the new Senate minority leader. Republicans also elected Redonio in a closed-door meeting, theirs at a Springfield country club, after intra-caucus campaigning of their own. The position opened up when Frank Watson of Greenville announced he would no longer serve so he could recover from a stroke he had in October. The minority Redonio will lead is a small one. Democrats have enough seats that if they stick together, they can pass legislation without the Republicans.
Our caucus is going to be about the issues that bring us together and that the taxpayers are interested in, and that is fiscal issues and taxes.
When she replaces Watson, Redonio will become the first woman to hold one of the General Assembly's top four leadership posts. She says it's exciting to be a little part of history. But in losing Watson, there's no longer any legislative leader from downstate Illinois. House Republicans reelected Tom Cross of Oswego as their leader, and House Speaker Mike Madigan of Chicago isn't going anywhere, meaning all four legislative leaders are from Chicago or are suburbanites. And in losing Jones, who is black, as Senate president, a minority is no longer a legislative leader. That transfer of power won't officially take place until the new General Assembly's sworn in this January. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
In the forecast for the region, mostly cloudy, a chance for a few flurries today, the high 37. Northwest winds up to 25 miles per hour. Clearing, breezy, and colder tonight, the low 17. Sunny skies tomorrow, the high 32. Increasing clouds tomorrow night, the low 18. Saturday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, the high around 40. Saturday evening, clear skies, the low 28. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, November 20th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.